Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Begin there in just one moment. 1 John chapter 5. It's good to see everyone. I apologize for being right under the radar of time. We were at Ben and Tori Melanson's house, and Ben looks at me, he's like, "Don't you need to leave like 10 minutes ago?" And I was not paying attention to the time, so I apologize for being right on time, which I would call late for myself. So apologize for that. So we're finishing our series from this letter of 1 John, where we are discussing how to know that you have eternal life. The purpose behind this series is that we can all gain confidence. I mentioned last night, and I know maybe there's a few here who weren't here last night, so I'll kind of recap a little bit of what I discussed. I struggled with this idea for a long time. I grew up in a Christian home, and yet oftentimes, even into my 20s, where I struggled not knowing if I was saved. I did all the things that I thought I was supposed to be doing as far as going to church or things like that, but like I still struggled. I had a lot of doubts. And so if somebody would ask me, "Hey, do you know you're saved?" my answer was often like, "I hope I am." But not like, absolutely, nothing like that. So I really struggled with that for a long time. And yet, I think 1 John is answering that struggle and that difficulty for us. Because God doesn't want us to feel that way. God doesn't want us to doubt. He doesn't want us to be scared and say, "Well, I don't know." God wants us to truly actually have peace. That's, I think, a big part of that piece is I know what's on the other side of this. I know where I'll be. I know who I'll be with. But when we are doubting, we don't feel that way. And so God doesn't want us to feel that way. And John wrote this letter to answer those ideas and those questions. And you see it in what I'm calling the theme verse of the entire book of 1 John. 1 John 5 verse 13. Read that with me for a second. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." John's saying, "I want you to know you have eternal life. That's why I wrote this whole book, so that you can know you have eternal life. You don't have to doubt anymore. You can be confident in your salvation." Lynn, I introduced to you about that John's letter really kind of breaks it down into three different components of how to know that you have eternal life. And I like to describe it as kind of this three-legged stool. It's just the way that I've pictured in my mind. It's really helped me a lot. So on top of the stool is this eternal life. If you look at the previous picture, it's like the vase, right? Sitting on there. If you pull one of the legs out from that stool, is that vase going to be okay? No, it's going to fall, it's going to break, right? And so that's the same as this stool. Eternal life is sitting on top of it. And so for me to know that I have it, I need each of those three legs. I can't pick two of them and say, "Well, I'm going to believe and I'm going to obey His commandments, but I really don't like those people, so I'm not going to love them." Now, obviously, you're not paying attention to commandments, I'll say that. But it doesn't work. Or you can't obey His commandments and love other brothers, but not believe Jesus is the Christ. It doesn't work. The stool will fall, and eternal life will fall, just like that vase is going to fall. You must have all three. They are essential to knowing that you have eternal life. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We read this last night, and I've got it up here on the screen. And so why I've got it up here on the screen, I color-coded it for you. And so what I did was I highlighted in green 14 are the two spots where it mentions believe Jesus is the Christ, or Jesus is the Son of God, obviously, in the next one. In blue is where it's going to talk about loving your brothers. Love whoever has been born of him, another child of God, a brother. We'll talk about that more in a second. In yellow is that third component, obey his commands. And so, last night, we talked about what I'm calling the first two, which is believe Jesus Christ and obey His commands. And so, this afternoon, we're going to be talking about that third one, which is love the brothers. By the way, the red up there is what I'm calling kind of synonyms for the idea of eternal life. John, throughout the letter, is going to use a lot of different words, but really it's pointing to the same idea. If you are born of God, you're a child of God, what does that mean? You are one of God's chosen people. What does that mean? You have eternal life. Same with the idea of overcoming the world. The world's going to be destroyed. That's what's death. One who overcomes that world has life. So hopefully you can see that as we do. So let's go ahead and read this. 1 John 5, verses 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I want you to notice a few things in this text specifically. I want you to notice how interwoven these three legs are, these three components. I think it's most noticeable in verse 2. So look at verse 2 with me, where he says, "We know we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments." So I know I love the brothers when I'm obeying the commandments. So you've got this just like interweaving, and they're wrapped together. And so that's how... So why does that make sense? Well, I kind of touched on it earlier. If I'm obeying God's commands, I'm treating other people how God wanted me to, right? How many of the commands are about how to treat other people? With kindness, with love, obviously. Even one of the very specific commands is to love your brother. And so if I am obeying His commands, I am going to be loving the brothers. And so you'll see that really throughout the book of 1 John. I'm laying that out for you for your own personal study later. When you read the book, you're going to see how they are all interconnected and interwoven, and you can't have one without the other. They will all fall apart. So I want you to see that. The second thing I want you to notice from these verses is this third component about loving, what I'm calling love the brothers, is not loving everyone. Let me show you. Verse 1 says, the end of verse 1, everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Who is it that we are to love? Everyone who has been born of God. In other words, a child of God's. In other words, a Christian. In the words that we would use today. So John is not talking about loving our physical family, our neighbors, or our enemies. Now, I'm not saying don't do that. There are plenty of other scriptures that teach that. Jesus obviously teaches we need to love our enemies. We need to love our neighbors. We need to love other people, anybody, right? But in 1 John, when he says love another, he is talking very specifically about your Christian brothers and sisters, those who believe in Jesus those who have been born of him. Therefore, it would be those who are obeying the commandments. Therefore, it would be people who are loving the brother. So that's the... I say that because that's important with kind of the setting of what we're going to be getting tonight. And so... we are to love all, but there is, I think, a special bond that we are to have with fellow Christians. So last night we covered the first two legs, believe Jesus Christ and obey His commandments. And today we're going to study the third leg, which is love your brothers. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read verses 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 3. So, I know I'm saying, like, hey, there's these three components, and if you haven't studied 1 John lately, you may not really know what I'm talking about. And so I always feel like I need to prove this. I don't need to just say, hey, one of the components is love your brother, you just need to take it or leave it. So I want to show it. And so specifically, I think we see it very clearly in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. So let's read those. 1 John 3, 14 and 15. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I think these scriptures right here are very clear about that loving a brother is essential. It is necessary. It says here that passing out of death into life. That's an obvious statement of you were once dead. You've passed out of that. You are now alive. What does that mean? Eternal life. And so you can see very clearly right there that the one who has passed from death into life is the one who loves their brother. The one who does not love their brother, in parenthesis, hates their brother, will not have eternal life. It's fairly binary. Yes, no. That's really how John is laying it out here in this book. It's throughout the book, but that's one I think that showed very clearly. So we see that loving our brother and sister is essential for us to have eternal life. And this may, you all may be like, yeah, that's easy. Not a problem. Right? I love my brothers, but I want to tell you it's not maybe as simple as it may come across on face value. This isn't a command of love the Christian brothers that you like and just kind of ignore the others. This is a command to love all of our brothers and sisters. And frankly, there are some brothers and sisters who are not easy to love. I'm one of them, I'll say it. Why is it hard? Why is it hard for us to love a Christian brother or sister? When is it hard? Well, it's difficult when maybe we have different personalities. They like things that I don't like. Maybe it's because they grew up in a different place, a different culture, a different whatever. Maybe it's hard to love a brother because, you know, we can't even communicate with each other. Maybe, A, we literally speak different languages. The church we have in Boston, we have a number of Spanish-speaking only. That's a barrier. That's hard. And I know this church here has that as well. It's difficult. And so it would be easy to say, well, yeah, I love them from a distance. But that's not what John's talking about. Or maybe it's difficult to love our brother or sister when we disagree with each other. Maybe we look at something differently. And that's tough. Or maybe they've actually hurt us. Or maybe they're the person who doesn't show us love. They don't appreciate it when I try to show them love, and so why am I going to keep trying? Or maybe they just always seem like they need something from me. That's when it can be hard. That's when it can be difficult. But John doesn't give us a caveat saying, yeah, love your brothers unless they're annoying. He says, love your brothers and sisters. So now we need to define love. How are we to love our brothers and sisters? So we're going to continue reading in 1 John chapter 3. We're actually going to jump back up to verse 11. So read with me 1 John 3 verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So he starts off right here. He's like, I'm just saying it. Love one another. This is a message you've heard from the beginning. And so he uses this same language back in chapter 2. I'm not going to read it. Actually, flip over to chapter 2. If you have headings in your Bible, look at verse 7. If you have a heading above it, it's going to say the new commandment. That's a really interesting scripture because it talks about it's an old commandment, that's a new commandment, it's an old commandment, it's going back and forth. I don't know if it's old, I don't know if it's new, but what John is talking about is, hey, this is a commandment. This is a... And what he means by old commandment, it's been around. But it may be a new commandment to you. Well, what he's getting at is Jesus gave the same commandment. And he said the same thing. I'll read it to you. This is from John 13, 34 through 35. He's telling this to his apostles. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So John is saying, hey, I've got a new commandment to write to you. It's old. Jesus gave it to us. But it's a new commandment. And we need to love. So that is his commandment. So then John goes on to define love in these next few verses. And to define it, he gives two examples. One, a negative example, and one, a positive example. And so with the first example, we are going to learn how to not love. And the answer is going to be, do not love like Cain. Read with me verses 12 through 15. 1 John 3, 12 through 15. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Who is Cain? And what did he do to his brother? Genesis 4. Cain is obviously the son of Adam and Eve, Abel as well. And Cain was a worker of the ground. Abel was a keeper of sheep. And over time, both Cain and Abel came and brought an offering to God. Cain brought it from the fruit of the ground. Abel brought a firstborn of his flock. And so what happens is the Lord has regard for Abel's sacrifice. And yet for Cain's sacrifice, he does not have regard for. And so what happens? Cain gets angry at his brother. He's angry because he was not accepted. He's actually not angry because Abel did something bad to him, that Abel somehow messed up his sacrifice. That's not why he's angry at him. He's angry because God accepted Abel's sacrifice and didn't accept his own. That's going to come into play here in a second. And Cain's anger grows and grows and grows to the point of killing his brother. And so John says, don't love your brother like Cain. Don't do it. So what's the lesson? Don't be like Cain. Don't hate your brother. And you're all like, whew, that's easy. Okay, I've not killed any of my Christian brothers. I'm good on this. Well, that's not necessarily the lesson, but let's keep going. So I do want to point out a warning here from this text that I think we can learn. Have you ever been jealous of another Christian? Maybe you see their house or their car, or you're like, man, I really wish I had that. Or maybe you're looking at their perfect life with their perfect spouse, their perfect kids. You're like, man, why don't I have that? Or maybe you're like, man, why is it everybody really likes them? And everybody just gravitates towards them, and they just don't really come and interact with me. And you're jealous of them. Whatever the reasons, jealousy is dangerous. And the story of Cain bears that out. He was angry at Abel, not because Abel harmed him, but because he was jealous of Abel. Abel was accepted. And he got angry. And that jealousy grew and grew. Anger grew and grew out of control to the point of murdering his brother. And John connects it here. If you hate your brother, you're like a murderer. Don't get jealous. We need to watch for that. And that's something that's easy for us to fall into. So that's a way where we need to be mindful to not love like Cain. We need to beware of jealousy in our hearts towards our Christian brothers and sisters. So, throughout this book, 1 John, John's going to compare loving our brothers with hating our brothers. It's really kind of a binary thing. It's like, one or the other, right? And you saw that in verse 14 and 15. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And like I said earlier, it'd be easy to say, well, I don't hate my brother, so I'm okay. But we're going to see that loving our brother is more than just tolerating. But loving our brother is more than, well, I sit in the same building with them, so therefore I obviously love them. Loving our brother is more than, well, I said hi to them, or I didn't spit on them, or I didn't slash their tires. No. Loving the brother is more, and John calls us to it, and we see it in these next verses. Read with me verses 16 through 18. 1 John 3, 16 through 18. John is going to call us to love like Jesus. 16 through 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. How is love defined in these verses? It's defined by what Jesus did, which was laid down his life for us. Jesus didn't die because of his own sins. He died because of your sins and my sins. He laid down his life because of our sins. So John is defining love as sacrifice. Sacrifice for others. But notice what John says in verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. That's Jesus' part. And then he says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Because of what Jesus did for us, John says, you must do it too. You must lay down your life for your brothers. We're to follow Jesus' example of laying down our lives. And that is how we are to show love. That is bigger than merely tolerating someone. That's bigger than I see them on Sunday, of course I love them. I'll let them know if I don't. That is bigger. This love is sacrificing our own lives for the lives of our brothers and sisters. And again, notice John doesn't give a qualifier. He doesn't say, you know, lay down your lives for the really good ones. Lay down your lives for all. So what does that look like? Well, John says it. Let's look at verse 18 first. I want you to notice verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Love is not a word that we say to each other. Yeah, I love you. It's an action. It's something that we do. So what is the action that we are to do? Now look at verse 17 again. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? This reminded me, Peterson and I were talking about this a little bit in the car. I want to show this verse real quick. Look over at chapter 4, verse 20, real quick. Actually, verse 19. Chapter 4, 19. We love because He first loved us. This is talking about God here. It says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. John's making a point. Now flip back over to chapter 3. We're going to stay there. John's making a point. You can't say you love God whom you've never seen if you won't love the brother who's right there. And how do you love? You act. You sacrifice. You do these things. That's what he's saying in verses 17 and 18. And we see this, and so I'll put this up here. Be sacrificial, and not in word, but in deed. We see this throughout the New Testament church, right? This is exactly what those Christians did. In the book of Acts, immediately, what did they do? There were brothers who were in need. And what do the Christians do? They sell their possessions. They say, I have a brother in need. Guess what? I don't need that field out there. I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to bring that money to help these brothers. That's loving sacrificially. That's loving like Jesus. I want you to realize that they may not have known each other before this. They may not have even liked each other. But they sacrificed for their brother and they showed love. I think another beautiful example is the Christians, Gentile Christians primarily, who gathered their money together to send help to their brothers in need who were in Jerusalem, who would have been Jewish Christians. And I want you to think about that for a second. These were people who were enemies just a few years earlier. Jews and Gentiles didn't mix. They were enemies of each other. And so like a Gentile would not have been invited into a Jewish person's home. It wasn't going to happen. And yet, when these Gentiles, who had probably never met any of those Christians in Jerusalem, hear that I have brothers in Jerusalem who have a need, Paul, take my money to them. That's sacrifice for a brother. That's living and loving like Jesus. Maybe we sacrifice money or goods for a brother who's in need. Maybe we sacrifice our time for a sister who needs it. Maybe we reach out to that brother who seems like he's lonely or struggling. I can go on and on. But this is the kind of love that is thinking of and putting others' needs ahead of my own. That is how we show sacrificial love to our Christian brothers and sisters. That's what John is calling us to do. Let's walk in the path of Jesus and love our brothers like He showed love to us. So, what happens when we love this way? What happens when we love our brothers? I want to show this to you. We'll go back to 1 John 4, 7 through 12 is what we'll read here. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Actually, drop down to verses 19 through 21. I know we read these just a second ago, but I want to read them again. 19 through 21. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I immediately notice from these verses how essential loving my brothers is. Verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Verse 21 says, this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. The only way for me to know God and to be pleasing to Him is to be like Him, to act like Him. And if God is love, I need to be love. I need to love. We love because He first loved us. We follow His example. We walk in His path. God made that apparent when He sent His Son to die for us. What does that sound like? That's the same love that Jesus showed, right? God sacrificed. Jesus sacrificed. Love is sacrifice. And God and Jesus and the Apostle John are calling us to love our brothers in that way, to sacrifice for our brothers because they, God and Jesus, sacrificed for us. So now, let's see what happens when we love our brothers like both God and Jesus loved. We'll see in verse 7 that we are born of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God. That's beautiful. That's amazing. We will be a child of God when we love our brother. Continue in verse 7, because there's one more. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. We know Him when we love our brothers. We already talked about we are going to be like Him. That's how we know Him. And so we're going to know God when we love our brothers. Now drop down to verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. So another thing that happens when we love our brothers, God abides in us. I'm going to pause on this verse for a second because this is beautiful. Verse 12, read it with me again. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us. and his love is perfected in us. We haven't seen God. But guess what? God will abide in us. He will live in us. When we love our brothers. How amazing. How amazing of this promise. I haven't seen him, but he will live in me when we love the brothers. That's another beautiful promise there. Another thing that happens when we love our brothers is we show God to the world. Read verse 17 with me again. Actually, we haven't read this one, I don't think. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. As we mentioned, we know that God is love. Therefore, when we love our brothers and sisters, we're going to act like God. And when we act like God, we're showing God to everyone around. Our love for each other, Christian brothers and sisters, is going to be distinguishable. It's going to be noticeable. Your family, who's not a Christian, is going to be like, why do you spend so much time with those people who you have never known before? Because I love them. Your co-workers aren't going to understand why you spend all this time with someone who's very just different from you. They're not going to know. They're not going to understand it. It's going to be foreign to them. We have a sister in Boston who she was going through like some health stuff some time ago. She was a newer Christian at the time, and her mom was really kind of worried about her, and you know, are you going to be okay? All this kind of stuff. And she's like, oh no, mom, I'm fine because I have the brothers and sisters. And her mom's like, why? Like, why would they do something for you? And basically her mom's like, because I don't want to go and help you, right? The brothers love, and it's different. Here's a quote that I saw. Some time ago about how noticeable the early Christians' love was for each other. There was a Roman citizen who noticed this and wrote this down. And this is what he said. He said, see how they love each other? A Roman living with Christians is looking at these Christians saying, wow, that's amazing. I don't get that. I've never seen that. That's the kind of love that we are to have for each other. It's a love that doesn't make sense to the world around us. Because all the world sees is differences. You see, well, hey, their skin color is different. I don't understand how we could do that. Or they have a different, completely different background. They're from a different part of the country. We don't even get along with those people. They have different political parties. I could never love someone like that. That's what the world sees, is differences. We see the same thing. We see people who were sinners, saved by God, who believe in Jesus as the Christ, who are obeying His commands, and who love me too. That's what we can do to show God to the world around us. One more point. We have eternal life. I read this verse earlier, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Read it again real quick. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. When we love our brothers, we have eternal life. And that leads me back to my stool. Three components to know that you have eternal life. John wrote these things so that you can have confidence. You can walk your days knowing you have eternal life. Someone comes and says, hey, are you saved? You can say, absolutely. I have no doubts. I have no doubts because I believe Jesus is the Christ. I believe it because John proved it. He called witnesses. He brought forth evidence that Jesus came in the flesh and that Jesus is the Son of God. I hear those two things. I know that makes Jesus the Christ, and I believe it. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, I have eternal life. I obey His commandments. We saw that God's love language is to obey His commandments. Obeying is how I show love to God. Obeying shows I know Jesus. Obeying shows I am born of God. I'm a child of His. I'm in His family. We also saw obeying doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I've never sinned or don't sin. It means that I am living this lifestyle, this practice of striving to obey His commandments. Yes, I have eternal life. And finally, love your brothers and sisters. I don't love like Cain. I'm not jealous of my brothers, sisters, which leads to anger, which leads to murder. Instead, I love my brothers like Jesus loved me. He gave up His life for me. I give up my life for my brothers. When we do all these things, the doubts go away. Because we can know we have eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. So at this time, 10-minute break. 10-minute break. Come back. I've got another lesson about anxieties. Interestingly enough, I just thought about that. I hope you'll stick around. I'm looking forward to sharing this next one with you. So 10-minute break. We'll start back up here in a little bit. Thank you.